Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you for the word. Thank you for this word. Thank you for the word of your grace. Thank you for the truth in love. Thank you for the spirit and truth. And Lord, let us just receive and be a vessel that only you, by your grace, can increase in it. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to correct something. Dominic Valdez, Jr., his service on May the 3rd will be at 1 o'clock, not 11 o'clock. So I apologize. So please make that change. And if it's incorrect out there on the bulletin board, we'll make that as well. But it's at 1 o'clock, not at 11. All right, let's open our Bibles today. Psalm 25, verse 10. Psalm 25, verse 10. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. Amen. Unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. So let's start off. How many of those paths? Amen. Not some, right? Not a part of your life, but all. But all. One thing I've always been so ravished with the Word of God in my heart is how often the Word of God uses the word all. All. Not part, not some, which would be great, but it's exceeding abundantly above. All we ask or think. That is who our God is, and this is all. And how marvelous that this is. I've quoted this before to someone that had just a little slant on being self-righteous. Immediately said, but brother, read the rest of that verse. I said, well, I just did. But, well, you know, it says it's only for mercy, and those paths are only to them who keep his covenant and his testimonies. And it was sweet because I just studied that. You know how God does that. It's not that something you have off top of your head. Don't ever think too much about you. But God is faithful. And he's instant and immediate, and he knows exactly what you need, and the Spirit gives utterance. You don't need to go thinking about what you're going to say. Let the Spirit give utterance. You come and you get into the Word of God and you feast on it, and I'll tell you what, he'll allow you to speak that truth in love. He'll put an abundance of love in your heart. He'll give you speech that's even seasoned with salt. You're amazing how much love will proceed when we go in the confidence of the Word of his grace. So I said to him, I said, well, you mean his paths are always mercy and truth to them who guard and love his promises, to them who guard and love his voice? I looked at him and I smiled and I said, well, count me in. Let me ask you something. Is the word of God dear to you? Isn't it dear to you? Isn't it wonderful? Praise the Lord. Who keeps who in this relationship with you and the Lord? Come on now, who keeps who? Who keeps who? He keeps me. He keeps you. And I thank God that we know this. And I'm grateful to him. And I praise him for it. And I proceeded to say to him, well, I really want you to think about it. I didn't call him a legal one, but I should have. I said, why would all my paths need mercy if I'm guarding and keeping his promises that are dear to my heart and loving his voice? See, a legal person would think that they have no need for mercy with his self-righteous heart. You understand that? You understand that? And I have heard people say about the mercy of the Lord, that know the whole counsel of God. Well, you're preaching mercy so much. You're talking about mercy so much. More, what are you doing? What's going on in your life? I'll tell you what's going on in my life. Gain, riches, glory. We're going to get to that in a minute. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. See, he's got to give you mercy before you're ever going to receive truth. You didn't receive truth and then, okay, now Lord, give me that mercy. I earned it. You get mercy always. Always. That's his way. That's his path. That's everything about him. He saved you by his mercy. He saved you by his mercy. And in that mercy, he pours out all that truth. All that truth. And who's it for? Them who guard and love his promises. So once again, how are you going to receive this abundance of mercy and truth? Just keep knowing what he's given. Know this abundant mercy and truth. Know this outpouring that's a fountain that is so beyond a Niagara Falls. It runs and it pours and it rains mercy. Now, do you see it? The beauty of it all, always, his mercies, his compassions are new every morning. And we need it. We need it. We're people. We're people. Yeah. And you know what? We're just mankind. But I got his mercy every step. And I'm running on in the boldness of his compassions for me. See, I know my God loves me. He adores me. That's why we always go back to what the intent of Christ and what he wants you to know. Know the love of Christ. Know my love. And he didn't just lay it out there, know my love. He said to know it in the height and the depth and the length and the breadth and the width and every expanse of that love. He wants you to know that. He wants you to receive that. He wants you to treasure that. And brothers and sisters, I mentioned this on Friday. I believe that the gain, and there has been great gain. Like I'm just saying, it's been an exceeding gain in the last couple years in this place. It's because of the revelation of mercy. I'm talking about the depths of mercy, the heights of this mercy, the beauty, the value, the treasure of this mercy. And see, most of God's precious people, they never get that vision. And that's why so few of God's precious people are ready to be in the bride. And that's the truth. And I'm talking about people that know the whole counsel, that know Paul's gospel, but they have no true vision and love and praise and worship for the mercy. And it's the truth. Okay, stay with me now. Why do some come in here sometimes, even for years, and then all of a sudden, after all of that euphoria about the truth and Paul's gospel, the bridal message, and then they leave. And then they're gone. Many times it's over someone. Someone. Not someone out there, someone in here. Someone in here, somebody's actions. Now be honest, someone failed horribly, maybe even your pastor. Someone did them wrong, someone cheated them, didn't act right. Maybe, let's call it what it is, inexcusable. But those reasons all add up to the same thing. That person that left never had a true vision of the revelation of mercy. All right. Do you know, going over to Colossians chapter 3, the very first garment, the very first quality of the bride. Let's read about what the very first one is. Colossians 3, verse 12. Now you know, if you know what Paul is mining here in Colossians, he is speaking to those that are mature. He's speaking to those that are after that wonderful encouragement to be presented as that perfect one in Christ. He tells them that I am the minister of the riches of the glory of the mystery among you, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's speaking here the depths of the truth to those who are prepared and ready of the Lord to receive it. So he tells them in this 12th verse of the 3rd chapter of Colossians, he says, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, here's the first thing, bowels of mercies. Not just a mercy, but mercies. And notice it's the bowels. It's right here. You want any fruitfulness in your life? You want any fruitfulness in your life? It ain't going to be from your works. It's going to be because of the love of Christ and the bowels of mercies. Now, how marvelous this is. Let's think about this verse. The elect of God means the chosen of God. Now listen to this. This is exactly how it interprets. It means the best of its kind. So he says, therefore, saints, the best of its kind, meaning the most mature. These are the ones that are readied. Amen. To run? Huh? That are attentive and readied. Lord, I want Paul's gospel living and alive in me. Okay. And you know what? You're the best of its kind. People might say, well, what does he mean by that? What does the word of God mean by that? One star differeth from another in glory. The resurrection, there's going to be ranks in it. And every man's going to be in his own order. There's going to be a glory of the sun and there's going to be a glory of the moon. There's going to be the innumerable multitude that is going to wave palms in front of that throne. And they're going to be waving them in front. And who's going to be looking out with Jesus? The four living ones. That bridal company ruling and reigning jointly together in the midst of the throne with him. See, know your Bibles. By the grace of God, it's very apparent. It's very right there, a cookie on the shelf. But you have to hear it. So he's speaking to these ones that will be ruling and reigning. And he says, put on therefore the elect of God, the best of its kind, holy and beloved. That means grace's choice, beloved, desired. I long for you. This is speaking to his wife. You don't use those kind of words with just anybody. When I say I long for you, I desire you. You're my dearly beloved. That's spouse talk. Somebody comes up there and starts talking to me that way. What are you doing? Better be that lady back there. Now, here you go. So, brothers and sisters, the very first thing, beloved, holy, best of its kind, desired and longed for, put on bowels of mercies. Amen. All right. Now, thank you, Jesus, for this. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for this. Without mercy, we miss it all. Without seeing one another, without seeing one another in divine mercy. What does that mean? It doth not appear what it shall be. That seeing one another in divine mercy. It doth not appear what it shall be. But we know. When he doth appear. We shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Now I'm going to ask you again. That's the vision of mercy for one another. And I believe by the grace of God, we cannot love perfectly until I see you when you see him. When I really begin to see you. When you will be like him. Because that's when I love you truly with the bridal love. Amen? Amen. Let's go a bit further. The self-righteous. And it's that self-righteousness that keeps us from seeing one another that way. Amen? Oh, sure it does. Yep. Speaking to a sweet brother in the office this morning. You know, if we're born of God, it says that we don't sin, neither can we sin. So if I start talking about something about your life that happens to be something about sin, what am I talking about? I'd think it would be a lie. Now, we can say that that's going on, but as brother just said, it's not the new creation. Are you not brand new? Did you not die the moment that you accepted Christ as Savior? The Word of God says that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. I don't live no more. But Christ liveth in me. Amen. That is only seen in His beautiful mercy. Brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what, that's why Brother Paul said, I want to be found not having mine own self-righteousness, mine own righteousness. That's filthy rags. Because I'm not seeing myself, I'm not seeing my brother in the beauty of the Lord. I only want to be found having His righteousness. What He's made me by the grace of God with what He's done for my life. Do you believe now and understand a little bit more why it's called a mercy seat? Think of that. The whole focal point of the Holy of Holies, the whole focal point of the tabernacle, everything. You go through all of that, and you, even the temple, whatever you want to say, and all that beautiful construction, it was all for one thing and get to one place. And that was the mercy seat. The mercy seat. A seat. A place of rest. Amen? Oh, yes. A place of complete rest. Surrender. Submission. If you know the Word of God, it speaks of the construction of that mercy seat. That mercy seat was the lid for the ark. It was the top of the ark. So they would bring that ark in there and they would set it down and the top of it. The crowning of it. The crowning of everything. The mercy seat. Why was it? Because the blood was poured out on the mercy seat. But there was something very specific and beautiful about that mercy seat. It was made out of pure gold. And matter of fact, it says beaten gold. Beaten gold. Beaten gold. But it wasn't just a top. It wasn't just a lid where you would pour that blood on and that would have been mighty. But there was a testimony of what was constructed out of the mercy that came out of that precious top of the ark. There were two cherubim that came out. The cherubim. All throughout the Word of God, those precious cherubim, they speak of that company that is revealed later on. Matter of fact, way later on in Revelation. The redeemed out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. It talks about those cherubim. They're also called the four living ones. And they rule and reign jointly together with Jesus in the midst of the throne. See, this whole Word of God is type and shadow. It's metaphors in the Old Testament of things that were to come, things to be revealed, even the death of Jesus Christ. Amen? Come on. Let's get back to something. If there's someone in disagreement that doesn't understand this. But it's truth, whether it was Isaiah or whatever it would be. Even in the Gospels, Jesus spoke to them in parables. They're going to tear it down, but in 3 days, God's going to raise it up. They were still looking for a building. Hallelujah. It was the Savior that's before them. Very God of very God. And here out of that mercy seat, praise the Lord, the very centerpiece of it all, the very meaning of it all, came out of that mercy the golden, reigning, beautiful cherubim. Now, think of this. They come out, and if you know, they bow right back down. They bowed right back down. They have wings that stretch out over that mercy. Their praise is all right back to the mercy. That's why the Word of God says, praise Him for His mercy till He come. And their gaze, it wasn't this and they're looking out at one another. See, there was one cherubim on one side and one on the other. They weren't doing this. They're looking right back at the mercy. They're looking right back at the mercy. So here they are. They're grown out of mercy. They become that wondrous, reigning, glorious, golden cherubim out of mercy. And then they bow back down and worship that mercy. Their gaze is only at the mercy. Their wings praise Him for that mercy. But there's so much praise and so much thanksgiving that those wings touch over that mercy. So they have fellowship over mercy. The reason that they have such love one for another is not because they're looking at each other. It's because they're only looking at mercy. And when we got our eyes on mercy, we got wings touching one another. But the only way that's going to happen, the only way is through the mercy. And that's the truth. I was reminded all these things that we hit with all the time. I know God's got a message to me in many things. Somebody had sent an article through something I saw. Speaking of someone that most people are familiar with the name, Mother Teresa. The person who did the most good works ever that anybody would ever know. I mean, gave up their life and worked in those places of disease and all of these good works and just gave their whole life to that. There's a religious denomination that has made her a saint, call her a virgin for Christ. But at the end of her life, here was her statement. At the end of her life. I have no faith. I have no faith. If there be a God, forgive me. And that's a fact. Now, how could that be? Maybe you're so caught up in keeping and doing in your ability and your good works that you completely miss mercy. Do you see that? See, honestly, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, and you, I tell you, there's people that are so caught up in their good works, they even miss one shred, even a shred of the blood of the mercy. And if you've missed that, you missed it. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And you best know that. I don't care who your hero is. That's the truth. I'm just preaching what I know. Now, listen. If you slight mercy in your life, you're going to miss power. You're going to miss redemption. You're going to miss grace. You're going to miss this love of mercy. And I'll tell you what, you'll even wind up condemning yourself. That's the truth. The wood, hay, and stubble burns. The works of man are going to burn. And the gold, silver, and precious stone is what remains. Now we know the Word of God tells us that the gold, silver, and precious stone, it ain't much. It's just a little bit. It's just like the mercy seat itself. If you think about the tabernacle and you think about the temple, Solomon's temple, I mean, there are mighty things and they're big stuff. Golden stuff, curtains, all these different things. But once again, the focal point of it all was the blood on the mercy seat. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you something. There'd be no tabernacle, there'd be no temple, there'd be no holy of holies without the blood on that mercy seat. That's the truth. And I think the Lord showed us that so sweetly. Amen. From the very beginning. Hey, you know what? Abel, go bring me a lamb. Go bring me a lamb. You got it all. You got the blood. Praise the Lord. See? Hallelujah. Oh, it's so good. But see, that's the riches of his glory. Now let's let him bring this all together today. Romans chapter 9, verse 23. Lord, quicken our hearts and minds right now. Some of us had too late of a Saturday. We're going to get through that. We're going to get right on now. We got to listen. Lord, open our hearts to receive it. This is something here. Chapter 9, verse 23. That he might make known the riches of his glory on what? On the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. Got to give you a little more in this, because once again, the English can never reveal in some respects what is really the beauty in the Greek words that are in this. This means that he might make known the fullness of the riches, and it also means there is no more. Amen. It's completely exhausted, even though it never can be exhausted, but if in a sense, it's all exhausted and all given. The fullness of the riches, all the glory is given to the vessels of mercy. Every bit. Now, hear it. Mercy receives all the riches of glory. His vessels of mercy, praise God, as we just read and thought about, are one with the mercy seat. The seat is in the midst of it all, which is also known as the midst of the throne. His mercy endures forever. I take you back just for a minute. All the wives of glory in the Old Testament, all the wives of glory that were shown, that we did those studies of those brides. Mercy. Every one of them, it was mercy. There was no way that they were going to come to that place but pure mercy. Amen. You think about Esther. It just, I rejoice. Mercy even to bring that orphan child to an uncle, to a kingdom, to where she would be placed in the place to be the favorite one and the one that the love of the king excelled all the other ones. How did she get there? Mercy. It's exact. It wasn't a coincidence. Mercy's got a plan. Matter of fact, the plan of mercy is, what did we just read? All the riches of his glory. Everything is for those vessels. That's you. That's you. How could you sit down? Really, this is you. If you believe the word of God, and I pray you do, believe the word of God. If you say you believe the word of God, by the grace of God, ask the Lord, Lord, encourage my faith. Let me be quick to believe. Let this be a fountain of belief. The word works powerfully in them that believe. So it even brought her to that place. But then she got to the place where she was just going in there to receive mercy to save her people. But mercy had a plan all along. Honey, I'm going to make you a joint heir with me. She was the one that was brought out. The king said, honey, it's all yours. I've got a request of you. He stopped her. It's all yours. If I tell you it's all yours, what could you ask me that I couldn't give you? And especially talking about God, it's all yours. What's yours is mine. We share this together. That's what he's looking for in this wife. You think about Ruth. Again, just the thought that she had that mercy would bring me to this field of Boaz the Redeemer. That was great mercy. But see, that wasn't, that mercy's plan was so far beyond that. Mercy's plan, praise God, all along was the Redeemer was not just going to save her. The Redeemer was going to make her his wife. I We could go on to a lot more of these, but this is why I said, why are these placed in here? Why are these stories so specific? Why are they always pointing to this glorious, much the more of mercy? And finally, you think about Rahab. She just really wanted to be spared. She said, I'll hide you, but spare my life. Let me be in the people. Let me just be in the people. Oh, man, I'll tell you. I'm confident one of them that she was hiding. Wow. Mercy's got a plan. She's going to be my wife. And Mercy's got a plan. She's going to be in the very lineage of the line of the birth of Jesus. All right. Now, do you see how wonderful this is? All our paths, how did we start today? All our paths are mercy and truth. And why? Why does it have to be all of them? So to receive the riches of glory. Do you see that? You really don't have to do a thing. It's all there. He made you a vessel of mercy. Amen? Aren't you a vessel of mercy? Yes, you are. He saved you by His mercy. He made you a vessel of mercy. He's going to bestow the riches of His glory on His vessels of mercy. And by the way, every single path, every single step, those before-ordained good works that you should walk in, they're mercy and truth. Because He's going to pour forth the riches of His glory on you. That's what this is. Treasure this, brothers and sisters. Believe in the power of His mercy. Because, I'll tell you what, these promises, they're yours. Because there's something that has to be. Mercy receives it all. It's not your effort. Remember what mercy is? It's not just the opposite. It's not just the opposite. Understand this. Mercy is the exact, extreme, ultimate, infinite opposite of what you deserved. I think, and I got a vision of sweet Brother Hill sitting there saying, if I could just clip that pinky fingernail. How stupid! How stupid could I be? Why would I want any of my work? Why would I want any of my effort or doing? When He says, oh honey, it's my mercy. I want you to praise me for it. I want you to thank me. I want you to enter into this exact, extreme, infinite opposite. You are dead in trespasses of sin. And I'm going to seat you, if you'll believe in this mercy, in the midst of the throne with me, together to rule and reign with me for eternity. I'm going to bring you forth, vessel of mercy, and make known to them that I have loved you. Loved you. And you won't be standing out there waving a palm, honey. Oh, no, you won't. You're going to be standing with me. And that's why they're going to come and they're going to bow down before you. And they're going to worship. Because I'm there. Because you're bone of my bone and you're flesh of my flesh. That's how this works. That's why He said this. Do you believe Him today that all your paths are mercy and truth? Oh, I pray you do. See, I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters. He's given you the revelation of the bridal truth. He's given you the revelation of the bridal truth. That is the mercy way. Amen. It's not a work way. It's glorious mercy. And He's given you that way. And hallelujah. This is so wonderful. The reason is because He already equipped you to have it all. Because He made you a vessel of mercy. And it's mercy all the way. Praise God. Amen. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. God. Jesus' name. God.
The question was asked, how many times should we forgive our brother? The answer was 70 times 70. I am 70. The response was, we are unfaithful servants. But the word says, mercy rejoices against judgment.
That's true. Oh, yes. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Lord, we do just thank you for this. In Jesus' name, just how you love us and how divine and the perfection, the enlightened eyes of understanding to come in to see and, Lord, to really glory in the magnificence of, as she sang today, Lord, it's because of who you are. And it's because of who we are in you. And what we've been made in Christ. And Christ in us. The hope of glory. It's so marvelous. It's unending. It's pouring forth, Lord God. And Jesus, as your word is said about the forgiveness. Lord, thank you, God. It's already done. We don't even count it up. There's no way to count it up because there's nothing to be laid against and charged against God's elect. Lord, help us truly to grow in this mercy. Lord, the winner of you and the winner of your son is going to be the lover. It's the lover. And Lord, help us to be that lover, the lover of the body of Christ. The lover of one another. Break up the fallow ground. Break up those that might be hearing this right now and be indifferent to it. Think this is silly. Think this is something that was not for them. I know you died for them to have it. God help a rebellious heart. In Jesus' name we thank you today. Amen. He can just back on. Yeah. Sometimes I don't think that he can make it any more clear, but he makes it more clear.